It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up on Central Time, a growing number of state legislatures in the country are signing on to a plan for a national constitutional convention. Wisconsin could be next. We'll find out why coming up. First, the state's Joint Finance Committee is meeting at the state capitol today to look at several bills and some funding requests from different state agencies. Bills related to the opioid epidemic have been getting some special attention. In January, Governor Walker called a special session on opioid addiction. Today, lawmakers will take a closer look at bills that would aim to treat and prevent it. WPR Capitol Bureau Chief Sean Johnson joins us now. Sean, welcome back.
Hey, Rob.
Well, there's been a lot of talk and focus on opioid addiction lately, and today is no exception. What are some of the key pieces of legislation that the lawmakers on Joint Finance are looking at?
And they've got a bunch here today, and these are all part of the governor's special session this year. One of the big ones is in terms of just how much it would cost the state is there'd be about $2.4 million per year set aside for treatment, alternative, and diversion programs. This is something that lawmakers on the Joint Finance Committee heard a lot about during public hearings on the budget a few years ago. It kind of got their attention. You had a lot of church groups coming out and talking about how these programs can work for people as an alternative to incarceration. And so what they're doing this year in this budget, if this passes, is you'd have $2 million to continue what they've already done, another $150,000 to expand those programs to more counties. And then they'd set aside some money for the Joint Finance Committee to fund a new pilot program through the Department of Justice. Another one that kind of not as expensive but is interesting, definitely, it directs the UW to contract with someone to establish a recovery charter high school for a maximum of 15 students as a four-year pilot project. And so this would essentially be, you know, students who are trying to recover from addiction could be a part of this, you know, admittedly small school, and it would cover their mental health and behavioral health treatment. And that'd be about a $50,000 state grant, which is why this is before the budget committee today.
We've also heard lately on the show that there are parts of Wisconsin that are really underserved when it comes to addiction treatment, whether it's opioids, as we're talking about now, or meth. Is there anything in the new legislation that would try to extend more treatment to those areas?
Yeah, one of those would require the State Department of Health Services to create two or three additional opioid treatment programs in underserved and high need areas. These wouldn't have to necessarily be rural areas, but they could be. So this would be another $1 million per year where the state would try to, you know, go to places that don't have access to that treatment right now and provide it.
And this, to get a bit wonky here, this is stuff that came out of a special session earlier this year. We're not quite into the new state budget with this material, right?
No, not exactly. I mean, the special session is, it's sort of just, it has a name on it. It doesn't mean that they exactly have to change what they're doing in the legislature or anything like that. This is basically, the special session is an indication by the governor that we want to move forward in all this stuff. And when it comes to the bills that are going before the Finance Committee today, he's, you know, got a lot of support for these, including John Nygren, who's the assembly co-chair of the Finance Committee, has been an outspoken advocate on this issue particularly.
Talking to WPR Capitol Bureau Chief Sean Johnson about the Joint Finance Committee meeting today, looking at different pieces of legislation. We've been talking about opioid addiction-related laws so far. Sean, let's move on to some other things. There's a teen work bill, right, that would allow loosen up restrictions on how teens could find work.
Yeah, and this is something that's backed by the Grocers Association and the Restaurant Association, among some other business groups. It would let certain businesses employ 16 and 17-year-olds without obtaining a child labor permit. So essentially loosening it up for them. This is something that the, you know, AFL-CIO, the labor organization of the state, is against, but a wide variety of business groups do support it. You know, not something that's gotten a whole lot of attention yet this session, but that's before the committee today.
And then rural broadband is there. And this, again, is an issue we keep hearing about on this show. What is Joint Finance looking at as far as legislation?
Yeah, I think rural broadband, like opioid abuse, is something that lawmakers feel like it seems like they can't talk about enough, especially if they're from a rural area. This is something that, you know, it seems like, at least given the attention that is given at the Capitol here from rural lawmakers, this is an issue that really hits home in their districts. This would increase available funding for rural broadband grants by $11 million. Some of this has overlapped with what the governor's proposing in his budget. The issue obviously has his attention too. And so it would do that through a variety of ways, kind of funneling some money that's set aside for other technology purposes in the budget towards specific rural broadband grants. And, you know, again, the governor has talked about this. This is one of the issues that he highlighted when he was talking about how his budget is aimed at rural voters. And I think those rural voters have gotten more attention in this session, probably after last year's election, when you saw rural voters kind of put Donald Trump over the top in Wisconsin in a very close election for Wisconsin's electoral votes.
Let's talk about the role of the Joint Finance Committee for a moment. Usually has the adjective powerful before it when it shows
fair.
Up in the news. Obviously, or as I understand it, all of these pieces of legislation will still have to be passed by the Assembly and the Senate. What's up with the Joint Finance Committee? Why do they get to weigh in on it at this point?
They get to weigh in on it at this point because either these are bills that have a cost to the state, basically. And so you don't see all of the special session bills here in front of the Finance Committee, you know, all the heroin opioid special session bills. In fact, one of the more interesting ones that says that heroin users who overdose would be granted legal immunity is not before the committee. It doesn't have a fiscal note on it. You know, it doesn't have a cost to the state. And so that's one that's actually still sitting in committee. Everything else seems to be moving forward. Headed toward a vote in the legislature, but if it has a cost, it ought to, in theory, go before these guys.
And speaking of cost, Governor Walker's budget is out there on the table. Are we starting to see the Joint Finance Committee look at that?
Yeah, that's really going to kick off this week. You're going to have 3 days of meetings where Walker cabinet secretaries all go before the committee. And essentially, they get grilled. You know, legislators can ask him whatever they want. Those cabinet secretaries can make the case for the governor's budget. And so you're going to see that Tuesday through Thursday of this week. That's really the kickoff of the budget process. And then next week, it spills over into a series of six public hearings around the state. The first one in Platteville. And, you know, before you know it, they're going to be voting on pieces of the budget.
And you said they grill these different cabinet secretaries. Are there any who might be losing a little extra sleep in anticipation of this time around?
It's always interesting to watch how the Department of Administration secretary does at these things because, you know, that's essentially the right hand of the governor, the DOA is. And they'll be talking about, they have to answer for any piece of the governor's budget. And so that takes a while usually. Also, I think you're going to hear some pretty contentious testimony probably, or back and forth between the Department of Transportation secretary and the Joint Finance Committee this time around. The DOT with Governor Walker and the new secretary, Dave Ross, have taken a very hard line stand against any new taxes to pay for roads. You know, there are a lot of legislators on this committee who would rather go a different direction and feel like if you do a no new taxes budget, essentially you're creating or you're exacerbating long-term issues, when it comes to paying for roads in Wisconsin.
And with joint finance, it has a Republican majority reflecting the nature of both of the houses of the state government. Do they have the power to shut down or change pieces of the budget before they go to the Assembly and the Senate?
Yeah, they'll rewrite substantial pieces of the budget. And the way you've seen Republicans operate, whatever goes through finance is pretty close to the final product that passes the legislature. And so, they can take things out of the budget. The governor has a lot of power still with his veto pen. He can kind of tweak things when it gets to him, but he can't put stuff back in. And so that could be the role of the Finance Committee this time around as they look at the governor's budget. The governor wants to spend more on a variety of programs, leave without too much money in the bank at the end of the budget. There are some members of this committee that may not want to go that way. And so that's one thing that they can do.
They're the great colander of government.
Yeah, that's right. The sifting and winnowing through the colander of joint finance.
We'll end on the great metaphor. Sean, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Rob.
That's WPR Capital Bureau Chief Sean Johnson. He joined us to share the latest from the Capitol as the Joint Finance Committee takes up bills on opioid addiction and starts the budget resolution process.